The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
And with joy, you will draw water from the wells of Yeshua, right?
Yeah.
How many would agree that joy is important?
Yeah.
And joy comes from one source, true joy, right? He's the true joy giver. He is our exceeding joy. So we rejoice in the Lord. Paul said, rejoice always. Rejoice. And again.
And again.
I'm enjoying this moment. Are you?
Amen.
I'm enjoying your presence tonight, Lord. We thank you, Father. We pray, Lord, as in heaven, so in every heart. According to your will, Lord, let it be done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we just rejoice in all that you're doing. And then that we get to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. Count us in, Lord, because we want to go with you. Where you go, Lord, we'll go. Just count us in, Lord. We don't want to go without you. We can't go. Where can we go?
Nowhere.
Where can I go but to the Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Father, thank you. You know, God can do a whole lot more when we just let him do it. Naturally, we're used to doing, you know, for us. But the things that God accomplishes in us is not of us. So we don't have the ability to change our hearts. And the less that we try to fix ourselves, and the more he can do. And the more that we try to fix ourselves, the less he can do. It's a work of grace. We're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. And we're kept by that same grace through faith in the Son of God. And God wants us to enter in the Word tonight even into rest. To move and operate from the place of rest. Not out of stress. Not out of the place of self-will, performance, competition. But he wants us to rest in him and let go of those things that you have no control over. Why do we stress out? Why do we worry about the things we have no control over? If it's out of your control, if it's not in your ability as God has given, then why do we worry about these things? God says, let it all go. Your life is mine. The next breath you take, amen, is by his grace. So why do we worry about all these things in life, you know? What are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? What are we going to do tomorrow? How's it going to happen? What's God going to do? Let it go. You know, so often God is just standing by, watching us, and waiting on us to stop.
Yeah.
We're out running and doing and trying to perform, and God can't do much until, you know, we stop and say, you know what, God, okay, I give up. And he says, now, I can do something with this problem you're having. And it's not until we stop stressing out often that we're able to even hear his voice. Because we get up in this place, this zone of, you know, confusion and worry and fear and what if. And as long as we're in that place, you know, all we're going to be hearing is those voices of you can't, you won't, what if. God is saying, come up higher. Come up above all that noise, above all that confusion. Come into my secret place. Come into my presence. Settle down before me so I can speak to you. And when you settle down and you quit and you give up, say, okay, Lord, I'm just laying it all on the altar. All my dreams, all my goals, all my ambitions, my future, ministry, everything. I'm just laying it on the altar, Lord. It's yours. It's your ministry. They're your people. I'm just going to let it go. And I'm just going to rest in you, and I'm going to enjoy the journey. I'm going to enjoy fellowship with you, and I'm going to listen for your sweet, small voice, amen, that sweet voice that speaks, that breaks through the mix and says, I am your God. And as I promised, I will take care of you. I will provide for you. I will protect you. Don't worry about it anymore. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Amen. Take my yoke upon you. Get connected. Just stay connected with me. I'm going to pull you through this thing. We're going to do this thing together. You know, sometimes we're in the yoke with Jesus, but we're trying to do all the pulling. We're ahead of him. And we're wearing ourselves out, literally. We're just like burning out. And we're not making any progress. I know that his yoke is easy and his burden's light when we're walking with him in the place of rest in the Spirit. Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about your life. Stop it. Stop worrying about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to work, your bank account, what the stock market's doing. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Because your kingdom is not of this world. Fix your eyes upon him. Trust in the Lord fully. Live in that realm above all that, that noise and that confusion. Walk in that place with him. Enter into rest. Lord, we just thank you that you have made available to us a rest in you. Father, teach us how to find rest in your arms. Teach us how to let go of worry and fear and shame and regret. Teach us how to let go of all that stuff, Lord, that you say is illegal for your children. And that we will find rest in God alone. Because our peace depends upon you and not on our circumstances. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed upon you. Because you are the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord has really stirred something in my heart starting with this morning. And I'd like to share it with you. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 3. You know, most of our problems that we have in the church is due to this condition of our natural state apart from Christ called pride. Pride breeds, you know, competition and wanting to be first and wanting to be best and wanting to be on top. So there are these fightings that go on within, you know, our ranks sometimes because we want to be great. You know, I don't believe it's a sin that any one of us would want to be great. Does anybody think that maybe that's a problem if you want to be great? No, because I believe that God, because we are his kids, we're his children, we serve an awesome and a mighty God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many know that makes you great already? Yeah. And it's a matter of not trying to be or achieve somebody. It's a matter of coming to the revelation or the realization of who you already are. When we get into the competition and to the achieving part of things, then we start to compare ourselves with others. We start to compete against others. We start to want to get into the place where we're first. But I think when we have a healthy understanding of our identity, who we really are, then we don't have to strive. We don't have to struggle. We just be who we are. Just be who you are. I'm a child of God. I don't have to achieve anything because anything I am is something I've received anyways. My personhood? Amen. God decided I'm going to be. He decided that you're going to be. So we don't have anything that we didn't receive. He gave life to us. So we need to discover who we are by discovering him who made us. So it's all about receiving the grace of God through seeking him. seek and you will find. So there was a dispute among the disciples, as there had been probably on more than one occasion, who was going to be the greatest. In the world, your status in society, your education level, how much money you have in the bank, possibly how good looking you are, all these things that the world presents as what it really means to be important or to be somebody or to be, you know, to be great. These are the things that people that are independent of a relationship with Christ will seek after. And sometimes the enemy gets believers to seek after these things too, and it's called idolatry. He's trying to get us to fill ourselves up on other things other than Christ. Well, if I can just get more money, if I can just be popular, if I can just get that facelift or that tummy tuck, if I can just. You don't have to achieve anything. You just need to be who you are. A tree that bears apples is an apple tree. Would you agree?
Yeah.
It didn't have anything to say about it. That's what it was. It just came into existence as an apple tree. And it doesn't bear fruit because it tries to bear fruit. It just bears fruit because it's a fruit-bearing tree. But also because it's in the right conditions, in the right position, the right place. So that it will have nourishment, right, to grow and bear fruit. So we don't have to try to be first or best or better than, because we're all family. Amen? And in God's sight, we have the same status, children. Even brothers and sisters in the natural, you know, sometimes we get competitive and we get into spats, you know, sibling rivalry. Well, you got a bigger piece of cake than I did. You know, how come you get all the good stuff and I just, how come I just get the hand-me-downs? Well, you know, these things can happen to us as believers too. Sometimes we feel like, how come God's blessing them so much and just look at me over here? God must love them more than he loves me. You ever felt that way? Should we feel that way?
No.
But when we come to know who we are, then you're no longer competing. It's like the body, a member of the body competing with another part of the body. The hand, right? I wish I was a foot. Well, you try putting a foot, you know, on your wrist and see how good that functions, right? We all have our place and we all have our purpose. But boy, if you just lose one pinky, if you lose a toe or, you know, man, you know. It's like, I'm maimed. So a member is missing. Something is missing. But every member is important. Some are more visible. Some may be a little more demonstrative than others, you know, a little more outgoing. Some may be a little more quiet. But we're all important. We're all valuable. We're all God's kids. And we're family in Christ. And we just need to know who we are and our personal identity. And that takes away all the competition and trying to be better than someone else or trying to be like somebody. We just all need to be like Jesus. That's who we need to be like. And I don't want to get too far off into this, but I'm going to say that for those who haven't heard this illustration, you know, of the piano. Once again, for unity to occur, you know, in the body of Christ, it's not you and I trying to get along. Amen. The world's been trying to get along for thousands of years. It's just never happening. The politicians are trying to get along. Our president's been going overseas trying to get along with all these leaders, and it seems like the more he tries to get along with them, the more enemies he's making. The problem is that sometimes we're trying in our own ability and our own strength to get along. And yet, a piano is that good illustration that you don't tune a piano to another piano. You don't tune yourself to someone else. You tune yourself to Jesus. You worship Him in spirit and in truth. You discover who you are through the revelation He gives you. And when you know who you are, you don't want to be anybody else because you can't be anybody else. And if you're in your place and know who you are, then automatically, because you're all tuned, we're all tuned into the same standard, Jesus, there's unity. That's when a church is in unity. This church is in unity because we're worshipers. And we stay plugged into the standard, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one that tunes us. If we try to tune to one another, then we get jealousy, competition, right? Factions, cliques, groups splitting off here and there, and we're holier than thou. And the hand says, I don't want to hang out with the feet people. But Jesus said, He took a child and He placed them in their midst. And He said, He who will be greatest among you must become like this child. And that's the key, is the faith of a child, the childlike nature. I'm not talking about childishness, but a childlike nature where a child is trusting and will believe easy. And when you tell a child something, they're, oh, okay. Until they learn not to believe people, they'll believe everything they're told just about. But when it comes to God, God never lies. So we need to have the attitude of a child towards God, knowing that our Father never lies. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I am unconditionally going to trust my God because my God is who He is. He doesn't change. We change. He does not. And if I want my life to be stable, I'm going to have to trust fully in Him who is stable. He is my foundation. He's my rock. He's the one that will hold me and keep me together. I can't keep myself together very long. You can do it for a while, but even people that by all appearances have it together in the world, come on, you get the National Enquirer in there with the cameras, right? For whatever you can believe from the reports. But you see that those people that seem to have, everybody wants to be like them, they've got all kinds of problems too. Why are you trying to be like somebody else? They've got their own problems. You don't want to be them. You just want to be who you are. And to discover that, you need to be a child before the Father with an open heart and a willingness to just to receive the grace that He freely gives you to empower you to be who you are. It's kind of like, you know, plugging into the gas tank. You know, sometimes we're just living on fumes. Man, you got to find the gas station right away. Well, guess what? You have one that's right on the inside of you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. You have access to Him anytime, any place. You don't have to come to church, amen, to have an encounter with God because He's with you. You can drink of His presence wherever you are because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And if we corporately are drinking of the water and we come together and we begin to drink corporately, when everybody's already half tanked when we come together, come on, we're having a good time in the Lord. And the Lord serves the best. He serves the best wine. He rejoices your heart. So if you've already had, amen, what you need, you stay filled up, and then we come together corporately. Wow, it's glorious. You see, some people think church is like a filling station. In a sense, it can be. I mean, there's times when, thank God, we have a place where we can come, and you know you're going to get refreshed. But how many know God doesn't want us to depend on everybody else to do that for us? He wants us to learn how to walk with Him. Babes need to be bottle fed, but when you start to grow up, you start to feed yourself. And if we feed ourselves and then we come together, we're going to be strengthened. We're going to be edified. We're going to be encouraged. Amen. And the cloud is going to be greater because we're bringing the anointing and our angels with us together in one celebration of unity as we're tuned into the standard who is Jesus. And from the head, everything will flow down. Where there's unity, the anointing, amen, will flow. bringing healing. How good and how pleasant it is. So Jesus said in verse 3, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Okay. That's it. It's that simple. We've made it complicated. We've made it difficult. I mentioned this morning how children, you know, some of the girls will come up here. And sometimes they're playing around a little bit up here with the flags and they're having a good time. And they're like, sword fighting or whatever. But God gets a hold of them at times. And they just get lost in the presence of the Lord. And they just began to flow in the Spirit of God and dance. This girl is dancing in the Spirit up here, this one in particular. And it's a beautiful expression and it's a beautiful example of how we should be, because we become adults. Adults don't do those things, you know. Well, I'm not going to get up and dance. I'm too dignified for that. You know, David dealt with that in his own life, didn't he? He says, "I'm going to be even more undignified than this," because he just went full bore, and it says he danced with all of his might as they took the ark into Jerusalem, right? He danced before the Lord. And his wife, Michal, you know, was criticizing him for it. And you know how you looked out there today? He didn't care. He had a childlike heart. He loved his Father. He loved God. So he danced with all his might. He just didn't care what anybody thought. You see, children, they don't care. They're in the store dancing around. They don't care what people think. Come on. I mentioned this morning the little girl I saw the other day. She's just floating around, and everywhere she's going, she's dancing. She's probably learning how to dance. But her mom was embarrassed by her. She said, "Well, stop that. Knock it off, you know." And she stopped for a second, and then she started up again. And you know what? There's such freedom. They're not caught up into all this performance, competition, comparing ourselves to others. How do people perceive me? Come on, if you're worried about what people think about you, you're not going to do the will of God. You're going to compromise it. Get over the opinions of men. Be all about what God thinks, what He cares about. He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to be free to enjoy Him, to dance before Him, to sing, to shout, whatever. Hallelujah. It's the most normal thing for human beings to do is to praise their Lord, their God, their Creator. It's normal. And we've allowed the mentality of the world to creep in and say, "Well, that looks that's abnormal to do that." Come on. What's normal in the kingdom is going to be abnormal out there. Amen? Yep. And what's abnormal? Amen? Out there is going to be normal to us because we are citizens of heaven. Our kingdom is not of this world. So why should we care about that standard that is darkness that leads to death? How many know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the cosmos, the world, that system that's in rebellion to the rule of God, to the will and word of God, that system that we live in. Why should we ever allow that to be our standard? We need to be the standard bearers. We need to show them what Jesus is like. Amen? As we abide in Him, they will see Him. They will see His likeness. They will see that's a follower of Jesus. Amen. The Christians weren't the ones to call themselves Christians. In the book of Acts, it says they called them Christians because they were Christ's followers. There was something different about these people. These people had a glow about them. They had a glory. There was light. The light was on in their eyes. And there's been places, you know, you go in the world, even in India, when I was there, where they noticed right away There's something different about you because they see the light in your eyes. When all they're surrounded with is paganism and they're worshiping death and dead gods. And then they see someone who's in life. They want what you have. So why should we compromise, amen, with that which is abnormal? We just need to be who we are in Christ. If the Lord says jump, we simply say how high. You don't question it. Anyways, are you enjoying this? Isn't it good? I'm enjoying it too. So I'm preaching to myself as well. Just keep yourself in that zone, the grace zone. We are receivers. We don't have anything to give except what we receive first. We can't accomplish. We can't achieve. We can't perform well enough to merit what we're called to be. We just are who we are in Christ. We're the planning of the Lord. Just abide in Him. He abides in us. His word abides in us. And we bear fruit. We just bear fruit. It's not something you work up. It's something that just happens supernaturally because you're in the supernatural one. Unless you be converted, that really means to turn around, change the way you're thinking, and become as these children. You won't enter into the kingdom, and you won't be able to receive anything from God. A lot of people, they sit through, they sit through a service. The glory of God is here. God is pouring out His Spirit. And they're too consumed with their own image, which is the image of Adam often, obviously, that they won't open themselves up to receive. Why? Because what's normal in the world has become such a standard in their own life that they don't want to let go of that. And often it's because of the pride that tells us, what will others think? What if you start saying hallelujah in Walmart? Now, God doesn't tell us to be, excuse the French, idiots. You know what I mean? Doing foolish things and say, oh, I'm suffering for Jesus, because you just weren't using wisdom towards those who are outside. I'm not talking about that. But you know what? Children are not hung up about what others think about them. They know I'm just me. And I'm happy to be me. They don't learn to be unhappy with them until a bunch of stuff happens to them in life. And they hear a bunch of lies. But when children are young, they're just happy to be who they are. They don't have to be anybody else until somebody tells them, well, you really shouldn't be you. You should be like so-and-so. See, that's what the devil does. He's telling you, you need to be like this or like that. You need to conform to the standard of the world. Rather than just abide and be who you are already in Christ. And let that standard dictate, amen, to that standard. Because where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. You see, we are to be the world changers and shakers. We're not to be influenced by the world. The best place for a believer to be is in the darkness. Because we're lights. Lights belong in the darkness. And you know what I'm talking about. We're going to light up the darkness. It's not going to put our light out. Unless you try to be the darkness. And you forget that you're the light. All right. So, we're the light of the world, salt of the earth. Keep a childlike attitude. Just enjoy your Father. All right? Don't be afraid. to step out for Him, He's got your back. Amen?
Yes.
My father can beat up your father. Some people have the devil for the father. I'll tell you right now, my dad can beat up your dad. Because he made your dad, actually. Come on, he can handle him. Therefore, we come. Last illustration. This morning I talked about the baby birds. The baby birds chirping away, crying out to God, crying out towards heaven. Feed me, feed me, feed me. You've ever heard the expression, the squeaky wheel gets oiled? Sometimes I'm a squeaky wheel with God because I'm desperate for more. And we're just going to cry out and we're going to praise Him. Hallelujah. Until the glory comes. Amen.
Amen.
And fills everything. We're filled up completely with Him. Be like those baby birds crying out for mama to come and feed. Amen. They don't have to go out searching for food, but they're in that position where they receive because they cried out in their desperation and their hunger. And God will feed you. God will fill you. God will delight your heart in Him if you're hungry and you cry out for Him. You seek Him. You praise Him. And then God begins to mature us. And we start to grow up and take on more responsibility. And He starts to teach us how to walk. And then He wants us eventually to grow up and to become fathers, amen, in the faith, fathers and mothers that will reproduce and be able to feed others. So it's a long process. I'm not going to go down that path right now. But the good news is that our fathers abundantly pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. In the latter days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Yeah. He's pouring out His Spirit right now.
Yeah.
It's whether or not you're going to get into position to receive or not. You can come, you can fold your arms, and you can be a closed book, you know. You can close the door on them. But we need to stay open as children, amen, that come. And sometimes they're just pulling on your pants and saying, Daddy, give me, Daddy, give me. Daddy, give me a candy bar. Oh, come on, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. Just come on. I'm busy right now. Don't bother me. Of course, you've all done that. And your kid keeps begging you and pulling on you. And eventually say, okay, grab the candy bar. We'll give you a candy bar. Do you know sometimes that's the way it is? We need to be persistent. We need to be like that man that went to his friend at midnight, right? And kept on knocking on the door. Kept on knocking until he got up and gave him everything he wanted. Come on, God's got so much more, but we're going to have to do a little knocking sometimes. Amen. It's not everything is just going to come easily. Sometimes there's a little bit of persistence and travail before the birth. So we praise and we abide and we continue. And then God, in His time, what you have invested, what you've sown, what you've done in the Spirit, all the praise that's gone up, hallelujah, there comes a time when God begins to return that to you. That's what Galatians 6:9 says. Amen. In due season, you shall reap. If you don't lose heart, keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit. Keep on pouring out your prayers. Keep on praying for your loved ones. Keep on pulling, amen, on Daddy and say, Daddy, help. Daddy, I want more. Daddy, I want my loved ones saved.
Yeah.
Because He's that kind of God that He will hear. And He can do the impossible. We need to be like those children. They're not hung up about anything. They just come and they receive. Hallelujah.